This is all timing now, Anders. Who's going to look the right way at the right time? And it's happening! Nothing, he does it, and he just stands up! Ice cold!
The rotation is starting to come in here. The smokes are still a little bit up. Edward trying to look for the kill. Shroud with one. A second headshot, a third headshot. Oh my god! Shroud!
Hey, this is Shroud, and you're listening to TCR.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Jordan Uthgill with the Cloud9, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. Episode 71. I'll be one of your hosts for this evening. My name is Tim. Alongside me is Anuj. Anuj, hello.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Pretty good. Brett, can you hear us?
I can hear you loud and clear, Tim.
Through the power of the internet,
the internet.
We have Brett broadcasting from his house.
Right. I need a moment to shed a tear or two right now.
I hope the intro was not emotional for everyone. You know, hopefully we can get through this. You know, the intro it was a joke but very real at the same time. So we'll talk about that though, because this is the best episode we've possibly ever done. Because we have e-news like always. We will talk about the ESL roster lock deadline that is technically happening tonight, August 17th, 2017. And it's not so much talk about the deadline, but what chaos it's causing. We have CSGO shuffles, roster moves, everything's going on, and no one really knows what's happening. So we will talk about that. The rare appearance of Call of Duty. The World Championship for them just happened. We watched it. We have some observations to make. I don't know if we're really going to get into the nitty-gritty of it, but we do have observations as fans. And then, of course, the TI wrapped up last weekend, and we got to talk about that. Crazy grand finals. Before we get really too far, though, away, I want to mention our Twitter, at The Center Ring. Go follow, hit us up, let us know what you think of the show. And, of course, if you are listening on iTunes, go and review the podcast. Leave whatever star you think we deserve. I don't want to beg for 5 stars. You know,
but if you're gonna do a 1 star, like don't go.
Don't go. Yeah, right. I'm not gonna tell you to give it a 1 star.
I'm running out of family members to do, you know.
But three. You know, give us your honest opinion. It helps either way. That's really it. That's all I got. So let's start with the show here because we do have. Oh, I will address the new open song just because people on Twitter always bring it up every time I change it. Copyright issues. That's all I can say. It's easier to operate on any platform like YouTube when you're using a copyright-free song. And there you go. So let's get into episode 71 here because, like I said, last weekend was kind of championship weekend, really, when you have Dota wrapping up their competitive season and Call of Duty wrapping up theirs. And not only did they wrap up their competitive season, they closed the door on Infinity War. Or Infinity War, this was the last one. It's done. Now they're moving on to the next saga in Call of Duty, which is World War II. What did you guys want to talk about first? I guess we really didn't. You want to talk about TI first? I think we have more to say about TI.
Okay, let's get into the TI.
Okay. So the TI happened last Saturday. I'm not going to like try to not avoid spoilers. Team Liquid ended up beating Team Newbie in the grand finals there, taking home just under $11 million. Insane amount. I know I saw some posts on Reddit and, you know, some people out there saying this was a disappointing grand finals. I'm curious to hear your guys' opinions because overall you're pretty new to the Dota scene, quote unquote.
I mean, I'm happy with the outcome. I was rooting for Liquid to win, but I wasn't happy with the fact that it was a 3-0. I mean, I feel like it took away a little bit, especially after so many good games that you had seen leading up to the grand finals. And for it to be a clean sweep, and, I mean, I thought it took a little bit away, but not much. I enjoyed the event as a whole.
What about you, Brett?
Yeah, I mean, I actually don't mind the 3-0 because those matches are so long.
This was the first time in the history of TIs. This is the seventh one. So the first time in seven internationals that you had a 3-0.
Yeah, they were mentioning that.
And one thing I really enjoyed, and we've already talked about this in the last episode we covered TI, is the production value. Like, they put it in a venue that, you know, isn't overwhelming. Like, it's not going to look bad if not a whole lot of people show up because, you know, it's kind of cozy looking.
But it's the TI, so people will show up.
And
it's the impact.
You know, I like the fact, I mean, there were like orchestras, and they made it an event, right?
It's a celebration. Valve will call it a celebration of Dota.
Right.
I mean, it's truly their Super Bowl.
Yeah, and another thing that other events can take, and I hate to keep going back to CS, we don't have to, but, you know, having it in the same place means something, right? Like, we talk about CS, we gripe about CS, you know, not knowing where a major is going to be until, like, just a few months later, but you know this, or earlier, rather, we know where this is going to be, so... It is an event. You know where it's going to be. There's going to be a lot of hype around it. The crowd's going to be huge. I mean,
I like,
all esports can take something away from, you know, Dota.
I don't disagree with Brett. I don't mind if you have events in multiple, like, Dota has the majors and they're in different locations, but I do like having, like, the grand event of the year in one place. Now, maybe Valve... It would be interesting if Valve did it, because Valve is also Dota. You would never know it with the way they treat Counter-Strike compared to Dota. But would they have both of their big events in Seattle? Nah. It'd be kind
of
weird.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the thought of spreading it out like the Super Bowl would generally be. It just goes to different stadiums. I feel like it helps spread this game a little bit that way. How amazing would it be for, like, us to get an opportunity
in Dallas? It's
good
to do
it. You know, like, it would just be...
To not get off topic, there will be a CSGO major in Dallas.
There has to be. It feels like the birthplace of,
With just teams coming to Texas, though. I mean, Optic moving to Dallas, even though no one's going to be moving with Optic.
And you got Envy.
Envy moving to Austin, Dallas. Yeah. It's going to happen eventually. But getting back to the TI, Liquid took first. Newbie took second. Chinese teams all over here. In fact, four of them made it to the top six. You had LFY getting third. LFY, actually, for how dominating they were, the fact that they got third seems like a big disappointment. LGD, their sister team, got fourth.
Those logos look exactly alike.
Well,
and it bothers me
they're
so
the same
much. Group. Still bothers
it's,
me.
LFY is LGD Forever Young, and then you have LGD Gaming. They're all same. That's why. That's why they
so
look
an aura
alike.
Can own two teams for...
Don't ask me about the semantics of Dota. Right. I don't know the inner grit of the rules and everything like that. Apparently you can, though, to some extent. And then Virtus Pro ended up getting fifth and sixth, sharing it with Invictus Gaming. Going back to the grand finals, though. So, again, we mentioned it was the first time you had a 3-0 team, which is pretty insane when you think about it. You had Kuroki being the captain of Team Liquid. It was his first time ever winning the TI, and he's been in every single one up until this point. It was pretty awesome to watch it was awesome and awkward all at the same time, watching after the game where the camera kind of followed him basically all the way from the stage to the celebration room with the most awkward champagne victory.
They need to not do that in esports anymore.
They don't.
That needs
Listen,
to just stop
we
right
don't
there.
Need champagne.
No.
Dude. Right,
half of them are probably not even legal.
That's what I...
But what happened?
Many things happened. They didn't know how to open the champagne bottle to make it pop.
The analyst or commentator stepped into like...
Some camera guy
stepped in. Yeah.
You could definitely tell they don't drink. Some of them are from cultures that don't drink. It's kind of looked down upon. And the fact that it's like, yeah, they're not used to that. Like, no. They win the match and they're... First off, they're probably, A, taken back that they won. But even then, you could just tell that's their demeanor is not that way.
They didn't even shake the bottle. So it's not like it sprayed anywhere. It literally just popped open and
just
that was it.
Out.
Yeah.
Oops.
It was very awkward and just should never happen to any. I don't wish that upon anyone. So just let's not do champagne victories anymore for Dota. But it followed all the way through, and you could just tell on Kiyoki's face or Kuroki's face that it just, to me, it looked like it never settled in. It was pretty awesome to watch there. Where I think, if we want to dive into the games here just for a second, just amuse me. I know you guys won't be as into it, but where Team Liquid, where you knew Team Liquid was going to win the TI, and I even said it in our Discord chat that this is it. Like, I don't care what happens from this point on. They're going to win, whether it be in three games or not. And this was in game two, okay, when Liquid turned it around. So in game two, Liquid did not see their first kill. So roughly the 15-minute mark. I think officially it was like 15 or 14:50.
Which is like insanely long in Dota, like in MOBAs. Like, I've played yes. MOBAs before, so I know 15 minutes into a game.
Especially for the other team to be getting... It's not like there was... No kills, kills in the game, and yeah. the teams just weren't yeah. initiating any fights. No, there were fights. Different level it was advantage just at Liquid was yeah. was getting dominated, and it was SCCC on who was he playing? The Queen of Pain in game two. He was the one really finishing the kills off, and by minute 15, this match was 34 minutes. I think everyone basically was like, okay, this is going to at least four games. Liquid's not going to win this one. At what mark was it? I'm pulling up here. La, 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 la. I mean, really, you can look here. I would say comfortably around the 29-minute mark is when things really took a turn for the worse for Newbie. They lost a fight at Roshan. They lost four guys into a team fight. And at that very moment, okay, keep this in mind, looking at the net worth for money in that game, in game two, where I'm saying it turned it around, Liquid had better net worth 1 minute in. After 1 minute into the game,
they never got it back
up until the 27th minute, and then just shoots up at that look. I mean, you want to see
well, yeah, the
on
game
screen.
Ends in 34 minutes, so yes. you know that it like at that point it's taking a turn for
moment,
the worse, and
though,
it's moving quickly.
They went from dead even to instantly like 10,000 over net worth. And even more crazy, though, at in no point in the game, except for within the first minute again, did Liquid even lead in experience. Even after the Roshan kill at minute 30, Liquid was still down in experience. They had no business winning game two, and yet they ended up doing it. And I think at that point,
you know, you've lost it, right?
It is your TI.
That's going to be disheartening for the opponent, obviously, at that point. So. Yeah, game three just feels like a gimme at that point.
Agreed. I thought they were great matches. Me, I'm kind of with Brett. In MOBAs, I don't mind the sweeps and the 3-0s because...
Game duration can be
it's
crazy.
Because the game durations and how you got to that victory, right? Like this. Yeah, okay. You look at the end results, 3-0, you would think it was a blowout, but it really wasn't. Like this game, for all intents and purposes, Newbie should have had it. You know, and arguably game three at times, Newbie should have had it. In Dota, and probably all MOBAs, you know, I'm not a big league guy, but I'm sure at one point it could go either way, right? One team fight in your favor.
Yeah, there's usually one fight that happens and it.
Everything.
Yeah. A team now, pushes up and Blake's towers, whatever it may be in that case.
In game three, it was, in my eyes, a pretty much steady. Pace for Liquid, I think at that
what
point.
What do they walk away with? Like 11 million now?
Just, I think it ended up being just under 11 million.
That's insane.
So they could easily take the year
I'll
off.
Look
take,
up if it's like CSGO where the team gets all the money, like it goes to the players.
Yeah, you don't see players in Dota complaining that last place teams at the international get money like you do the other esports.
Last place just walked away with 370K.
I think they're pretty okay.
The second place at a CSGO major.
With that. Now, this is one stat that has nothing to do with the play of the game. It has nothing to do with players or anything like that. It's about the international. And I would say just in general in esports, I think it speaks a lot to esports as a whole. That the international 2017, have you seen the growth rate on this? 31.47% on Twitch alone for peak concurrent viewers compared to last year.
I mean, because the game has been huge. It's not like last year's Dota was international.
This is not a new game that's popping up everywhere. And this is just on Twitch across all their streams for the international. You know, they have French, Spanish, whatever. They have a million different streams going on. But the fact that this game can still grow to a 34% is mind-blowing to me. And it's...
They have Chinese teams, so that helps, right? Because those are real viewers, probably. Yeah, it's not all bots,
I should
say.
Not all bots this time. You probably do have a little bit more
But you have a little bit more real fanfare there for that game.
Right, but even then, compared to last year, which topped at 626,000. And this is just Twitch alone.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, you have other streaming sites. No one really knows that if you're watching the game through the Dota client, if that counts for Twitch or not. I've seen mixed reports that it does.
Either way, Twitch is still a good majority, right? It's a good thing to go off of.
So, in previous TIs, has, you know, you had mentioned that four out of the six top teams were Chinese. Is that atypical for TI events, or is this kind of unique to this year?
Let me look here.
That could contribute to like viewership, right?
Like, yeah, and that's what Anuj was saying, where, you know, having a Chinese team in the final definitely doesn't hurt, but even last year, you had Wings win it, and that is a Chinese team.
So it's kind of like if, here domestically, if the Dallas Cowboys were to make the Super Bowl, viewership would go up from a previous year, because they're the Dallas Cowboys. So I'm assuming Dota has a bigger following in the Asian countries, right? So maybe that.
Typically, but even here, I'm looking at 2015, Wings won. SDEC, they were in the finals for 15. Newbie won in 14. So, I mean,
they've had
even
a consistent Asian presence.
Yeah. Okay. VC Gaming won. So, 2014, it was completely Chinese, and that was a snooze fest, by the way. 2014, in my book, worst TI Grand Finals ever. It was so boring, which made me not like the Chinese style of Dota, because I think they call quits too early. But that's neither here nor there. So no, I to your point, I don't think it was any different with the Chinese viewers as far as
this year being different than the last. So that's good.
Yeah, this is kind of a true grow number there. Which is insane, because people always ask, well, when are these top three games, you know, Counter-Strike, Dota, and League of Legends, when are they going to drop off? When is the popularity going to go down? And I don't think they will. I think as esports grow, people are going to gravitate to these popular games, and it's those games are going to reap all the reward from the smaller ones.
Yeah, I mean, those games have been popular for so long, and if you're going to play a MOBA, you really only have two or three real choices to play from, right? And so if you go onto Steam, what's a top seller always? You're going to see Dota on there. A lot of people are using the Steam client. Like, these games are only going to get bigger. Counter-Strike, Dota. You're seeing prize pools go up still yearly. You're seeing viewership numbers, you know, reach all-time highs. It's not slowing down. Esports isn't going anywhere.
The discussion of when are these games going to become not popular is a pretty... You cannot ask that question and then in the same breath talk about how esports is rapidly growing into a $1 billion industry. Like, that's idiotic to even think about ask those same two questions back to back. It's like, well, you just answered your own question. When is Dota going to become not popular or top three game? When the industry stops growing into a $1 billion industry. That's when. So there's the TI for you. It was awesome. We've already had some roster moves, though. Virtus Pro ended up signing some big ones here. Virtus Pro ended up signing a contract extension through 2018. Makes sense. They had a pretty good finish.
So they have like a good Dota team and CS team locked up for the next few years.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty solid organization. OG ended up kicking or not. Okay. So I was going to wait for Counter-Strike, the Counter-Strike talk, to talk about this. The wording, when we talk about roster moves, is so obligatory, it's ridiculous. Some people say a player was dropped. Some people say they were benched. Some people say it was on their power. No one really knows. OG, Anna, not they're no longer on the team.
Parted ways.
Figure it out for yourself on who's who.
So and they're still looking for their fifth right now, right?
Yeah. Yep. And then Team Secret, they ended up parting ways with Kazuu and MP. So there's some big roster moves already in the Dota offseason, getting ready for the next competitive round. But Call of Duty also had a world championship this weekend, and we have to tip our hats to them. If you ever listen to the show, you know we don't really talk MOBAs, and we don't really talk Call of Duty. But when it's the championship weekends for both of them, I will watch. I will watch majors and everything like that. And it's always weird because every time I watch a major in Call of Duty or a big tournament, I always tell myself, why am I not watching this more? They're entertaining. You know, they have good, what's the term?
When it's just easy viewing for the game. Like Call of Duty, the reason I don't like this game, just to kind of touch on that for a second, is because of the jetpacks and stuff. I don't like that futuristic style of play. It's just not a gameplay I enjoy. But from a viewership standpoint, like, it's pretty entertaining to watch, you know, what's going on. Like, these guys are so good. You get a really good product out there, and the game visually looks nice, you know. It's just playing it is a whole different thing for me. And so this tournament was exciting to watch. Like, there was some fun moments in this tournament that I'm happy I got to watch because I didn't watch all of it, right? I chose bits and pieces. Big games were coming on. I would watch one of them we have listed here was the Envy and E-United matchup.
Right.
I was so happy I got to watch that game because that's what drew me in to watch other rounds. It was insane. This 10-0 comeback with about 3 minutes and like 50-some-odd seconds
so
left.
You can watch this. What Anuj is talking about is Envy was playing E-United. They were playing Uplink. E-United was up 10-0. And for those who don't know what Uplink is,
it's like basketball.
Yeah, it's basketball. Think of you have a ball or an uplink, and you have to throw it into...
It's the opposite of basketball in the sense if you throw it from farther away, you get 1 point. If you slam dunk it, you get 2 points.
Right.
And
that's
so
essentially what it is.
And the circle moves around, and you can pass the ball like
so
in a sport.
So E-United, this was an elimination game. E-United, or match, I should say, was up 10-0, and Envy ended up coming back. You can actually watch it all on comms. You can watch it completely from the perspective and hearing the communication going on with Envy. And listen, I don't care. On the subreddit, people were, that's where I saw it, on the esports subreddit, people were giving it grief, saying, well, it's a console game, who cares? I don't care if you don't like Call of Duty. I don't care if it's for a console. It's esports at the end of the day, right? And you should be able to appreciate that these are the top people in that category playing this game.
It's so much controlled chaos going on in the comms. It's insane because you're constantly respawning, points are moving, whatever. Like, for them to understand that information so quickly was blowing my mind because I had no clue. Like, somebody was just yelling a position one after another, and it was, I mean, I thought it was a thing of beauty to kind of watch. I didn't, you know, I haven't seen it before.
Yeah, I was listening to Optics comms, and it's so efficient. With like just one word call outs, two word call outs, and it has to be because, like, more to your point, Anuj, it's so chaotic. But there's a few things that I think Call of Duty does very well in their presentation that kind of bring viewership and excitement, at least for me. One, you just spoke on it as comms. I like hearing that. I like hearing how pros communicate in a game. You know, it'll only help maybe other people figure it out and be efficient in game. And I'm sure that's not going to change. You're always going to have that toxic person that you're playing with online. And another thing that they do well is, I think it was you, Tim, that said that you really don't like the fake, you know, hype. But
I don't.
I like that wrestling style.
I don't. This is my thing.
So excited.
For whatever reason, in console esports, the smack talking is on another level.
Yeah. They're now, right there next to it.
You saw it in PGL this year, though, when they were on stage.
Yeah,
you know, like, they were standing up
right,
and yelling. Like, you saw that happening.
But again, I don't know what it is. In console games, it's to the extreme. Like Brett said, it's like, it feels fake. It feels like they're at a wrestling match. It's very weird. And maybe it's because after the game, they're like, oh, well, you know, it was a good game, and Envious is just a hard team. And I'm like, where was this hatred? Where was this yelling? Where was the hype?
Part of it is you're getting to hear the comms, though, right?
Right.
You don't get to hear them
in
all.
And don't get me wrong, listener. Ask Anuj or Brett. They play games with me every day.
Tim is a natural COD player on PC.
I am that toxic player. I will be the first to admit that I do no game community a favor. You know, when you think of, like, this guy is just being a complete ass for no reason. That's me.
If it's your first time playing Overwatch, just hope Tim's not in your game.
Yeah, I talk smack. You know, whether it be for fun or if I am legit upset, it's fun at the end of the day. And I remember when I used to go to LAN parties all the time and actually compete professionally.
Semi-professionally.
And I definitely remember talking smack to the people on the other side of the table at MLG. I mean, I was that guy in person talking smack, and I guess I shouldn't hate on them too much because I am. It's, you know, the pot calling the kettle black here, but it just makes me uncomfortable, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you see that. I think part of it, again, is just goes back to the comms being available in a lot of these games. You could hear them yelling at one another, but they were saying it amongst themselves almost a lot of the time, too. Going back to the event, I mean, I thought the finals was great. You got to see the Optic Envy matchup. It was the second time they played.
I don't even think we brought that up. Yeah, Optic ended up taking first, Envy second, Luminosity third, and Rise Nation was fourth.
Yeah, Optic lost to Envy in the upper bracket semifinals, and Optic dropped down to play Luminosity, who they just kind of ran through, and then they made their way back up in the rematch with Envy, and Optic brought their A game. I mean, first of all, the whole crowd was an Optic fan member. Did you notice that?
A few things
they always are, right?
I mean, it was everybody.
Yes. A few things that stood out, or I'm surprised by. I'm surprised this is the first championship for Optic.
From
an outsider looking in on Call of Duty, all you hear about is Optic. You would think they win every year. But the fact that this was their first time and they have a big fan base as they do, pretty impressive. And the fact that this was the first time they ever beat Envious at a world championship is also pretty crazy. And they did it in the finals.
After losing to them, you know, just previously in the upper bracket. So it showed a lot of, you know, tenacity to come back and do that. It was cool watching people like Scump play. You know, I've heard his name
and they
several
restarted
times.
The bracket.
Yeah.
They did. Optic had to restart the bracket in the grand finals.
Yeah, they did.
So they had to, they essentially beat Envy twice.
Yeah, they had to beat Envy twice because Envy hadn't lost.
Right.
They came out of the upper bracket.
To jump back to TI, I love everything they do about the TI except for that. The fact that it is a double elimination tournament until the grand finals. Realistically,
you should have to beat them twice.
Realistically, Liquid should have beat Newbie twice, but they only had to beat them once. Because for whatever reason in TI, they don't reset the brackets. It's just a clean slate grand finals. And for me personally, I don't think that's fair.
Part
or
of it could be
because
you would have potentially a 10-hour finals.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Could you imagine if they take it to a game five first game and then second game is another game five? It's like, oh.
And I bring this up. This is why you don't do semifinals and grand finals on the same day. This is why you make your grand finals the only thing to go on for that day.
But even then, to ask them to play like potentially 10 plus hours of straight gaming, and you're probably not going to get to.
Potentially asking.
Yeah.
That,
but
right?
So that's what I'm saying.
I mean, look at even in this TI, game one was 27 minutes, game two was 34, and game three was 45. The longest one there was 45 minutes.
But we also saw some other games in the TI that were like an hour and a half.
But
I'm
just saying, those are the outliers.
Yeah, it could potentially
be
a lot,
but
so they have to plan for it in that sense.
I know. I'm just saying, if I was like Newbie, in the back of my mind, I would be like,
yeah, we only lost one time. They've lost once,
like,
too.
I'd be in that locker room, like, kind of looking at guys and be like,
yeah,
anyone else think this kind of bullshit?
For COD, it really made sense to obviously do that because the games go by so quick and it's like easy viewing.
They can wipe away their tears with the $4 million.
Don't get me wrong. I'm sure they have. Sure,
even this paid out
set,
quite a bit.
But
first place got $600K, second place $200, third $100.
Yeah,
so not
and keep
a bad
in mind,
payout.
This is the group that was complaining that, you know, the prize pool was not ideal because, A, it was
CS still has $1 million prize pools, dude. You know, like for these types of events. These guys are even getting more for Infinite Warfare, which is considered one of the better viewing Call of Duties, but one of the worst in terms of, you know, enjoyment factor for most players.
And the last thing here before we get into the roster talk, this was the swan song for Infinite Warfare. So they are moving on to World War II, which...
Thank God.
Thank God.
Comes out, what, like October?
I think it comes out in November, and then you have the beta coming up here in the next few weeks.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. I mean...
We were just talking about it.
Like, I know I think people bash on Call of Duty, and yet it still retains its player base every time. So...
I'm a little bit more excited about this one. I think if I, you know, kind of like we mentioned before, if I played it, I might follow the pro scene more too. So we'll check it out and give it a whirl.
The issue is we also have Destiny 2. And yeah, that could be an entirely different pro scene.
That's going to be exciting.
New e-sport, that, right?
We're going to be in the pro scene, so this show might
this
not go
true.
On much longer.
Or it will be broadcasted by professional Destiny 2 players. Maybe we'll have inside information, you know? You never know. Speaking of inside information that you never actually know, the ESL roster lock is, like I said, it's technically tonight, so I'm sure something will happen by the time we post this show because it never fails.
Yeah, tonight at midnight, craziness.
But you do have the CSGO roster moves and everything that accompanies that. Where do you even want to start? Do you want to just start with the intro?
The big news, man. Like, we have to go straight to it.
All right. So, of course, from our intro, Cloud9 ended up announcing, and this goes back to my point, don't believe everything you hear from these insiders. You know, Decay, what are some of the other ones?
Don Hassey, Nell. I mean, there's a lot of them. They have good information and a lot of information
those are like
you got to
big three,
filter through.
Right?
Yeah.
Decay, Nell...
And then HLTV.
HLTV. All these insiders, right? We are not insiders. We are so far outside. You can't even... If you opened up your window and yelled at us, we still wouldn't be near you. But you can't... The thing is, with all this drama going on, the wording that they use, don't even listen to it, okay? Because when it first broke out, it sounded like C9 dropped Shroud, when in reality... That wasn't the case. He ended up stepping down. And then they ended up voting as a roster. The remaining guys ended up saying, let's drop Nothing and pick up Taric and Rush. So Cloud9 ended up losing Nothing, Shroud, picking up Taric and Rush from Optic.
How do you feel?
So Brett was asking me because we figured this out. And we heard about it, I think, at work, right? Is that where we heard about it? So... As a Cloud9 homer, as everyone knows, I feel okay about it. You know, when looking at the roster of C9 for their CSGO team, it's been such a consistency, right? Their consistency has really kind of always been there, but it's never really gone anywhere. You know, ESL Cologne was kind of their most success with that roster, and it's been there for, you know, kind of like a year almost. And you've never really seen that progression in them grasp onto it. They've always just been there. So, not saying that there needed to be a roster change, but if there was going to be a roster change, I could see why Nothing is that person leaving.
I felt like Shroud. Yeah.
Shroud.
I felt like the writing was on the wall
I don't
there.
Look, yeah, I was going to say, I don't, and that's why I said I could see why Nothing is the reason, the one that you would drop. Because... Realistically, we don't know what they were going to do with Shroud. Shroud went up to the owner and said, hey, I want... In fact, I have some audio here. I want to play this audio from Shroud. This was on his Twitch stream, so bear with me because you got some Twitch audio. But I want to listen to this. This is only a couple seconds long, but it's him, like 20 seconds, explaining kind of what happened before the news broke.
2 weeks ago or something. Probably like a week or two, week and a half, 2 weeks. I messaged Jack and I was like, hey, Jack's the owner of C9, by the way. I was like, hey, I kind of want to step down. I would love to be your guys' backup. I want to see where full-time stream takes me. And he was super supportive. And he's like, let's do it. Let's make it happen. And here we are. Bam. 15-second story.
So there you go. literally, that's what happened.
Yeah, Jack was like, thank God, because we just had his name on this list of people we were about to cut.
So, but we don't know that,
though. No, but
that's
what
I'm saying.
Yeah, but who else were they talking about dropping? Like, from an outside perspective, from the people that were discussing the scene and know it a lot more than
that's
we
what
do.
I'm saying. Those are the two that you would talk about. Yeah. You would not drop Automatic, you would not drop Stewie, and you're not going to drop Skadoodle.
Yeah, and now have good pickups for him, right?
Go ahead, Brett.
So, from a Cloud Nine standpoint, if I was Jack, I would still be excited. I mean, he's still streaming underneath Cloud Nine, right? Like, he's a backup. He still has Cloud Nine on the stream, and he's
Swag backs. Was.
Yeah.
And he's getting like anywhere from 30 to 50k viewers on a daily basis now. So, I mean, that's just like putting Cloud Nine out there. You know, more to Anuja's point. You know, it kind of doesn't make it awkward for him if there had to be a move made. You know, if they were forced, if there was another failed major or another poor tournament and he had to, like, make the hard decision, he doesn't have to do that anymore. So I would be, if I was Jack, I'd be, like, really.
Yeah, and even for the team. So, like, talking about the team itself and the changes that were made, at first I was like, oh, this is not going to be a huge upgrade in my mind. The more I thought about it, you know, I started to kind of feel a little bit more confident in what they're going to be able to do. This allows Stewie to go into a role where he's not entry fragging. You hate to lose Stewie early in a round. They have Tarik, who's an entry fragger, Rush, who's an entry fragger, so he'll be able to play behind them and work with him and Automatic more that way. And Rush is...
It was always rumored, you know, that Stewie was upset with the work ethic of the team.
Yeah.
Which, in retrospect, was probably directly towards...
Well, nothing
Shroud.
Was super inconsistent. He's either going to win you a game or lose
right.
you a game.
And that's what I'm saying. So I think we could probably guess that that was directed towards Shroud and nothing about the work ethic and everything there. Maybe Ska, but he's a tough one to
read. I don't even think it was a team decision. I think it was like a Stewie decision that they needed to make the move. He's the leader of that team at this point. He's the in-game leader. He's the best player on that team. And now he's been there for over a year, you know? So
the one thing with all this... Though I think what you're going to get with Rush and Tarik that you didn't get with nothing and Shroud was the enthusiasm. You're going to get that with them where I think it died off.
And grinders, you know, those guys play a lot of CS.
Yeah, and I talked to you guys about it, you know, this week when it happened. It's like, okay, you can talk about the move, how, you know, it's not, it doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, the upgrade, is it that big of an upgrade? But one, lack of choices, but two, you know, you're getting two dudes that grind. Like, at night, I'm laying in bed. I have nothing to do. I like to watch Twitch. And Tarik is constantly playing CS. Constantly. Like, just banging out matches. He lives and breathes CS. So, I mean, I like them.
He's always wanted to play for Cloud9, I feel. You know, like, even on CLG when he was rumored to potentially be going there.
I think every American boy wants to play.
Yeah, except for Aliege.
Aliege is the only one. Which, that would be a good segue. Let's get into that Aliege discussion, because this was another one where the rumor spread like wildfire because Per sources, Decay, I don't want to name any sources, but Decay tweeted, okay, that it was Aliege was
he was 100% leaving the team.
And favorited to join...
To join the new IBP team.
Okay,
right?
Yes. Now, by that wording, I guess he didn't confirm anything. He's not wrong. He's technically not wrong. Which, can I take a step back for a second?
Go ahead.
Can I dive into the salt mine? Would you entertain me?
Let's open it up. It's been a while.
Let me put on my gear for a second. I just got to get on this whole thing here, and I want to just dive into the salt mine. I understand. You are an insider. What you say... is not gospel. Okay? I totally get that. You have it in every sport, right? You have that rumor breaker, and you're going to miss some. It happens. You are going off of rumors and hearsay half the time. Yeah. It's going to happen. You're going to miss. Decay's pretty good about owning up to it, but at the same time, he's not, where sometimes he'll jump back and be like, I didn't say anything.
They get overly defensive.
They get
right?
overly defensive when they could clearly just say, look, I have sources. Sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're wrong. I'm an insider. What do you want from me, right? But you have to, that's the job. The job is being right and the job is being wrong. Stop being so defensive. You have to take criticism when you want to be in the limelight. If you want to take the risk of tweeting out things, don't delete your tweets. Take the criticism as you go. And that's for anyone in esports, right? Yeah. I mean, for us, example.
There is no deleting tweets anyway.
Even
know?
If we get criticism, which we don't, because let's face it.
It's perfect.
It is a perfect, flawless podcast. If you want to be there, you have to take the criticism. You can't just sit here and ask for, positive.
It's not a positive Twitter crowd, first of all. Yeah, the crowd in general is like a salty
crowd.
Twitter
is not your safe place.
And then people listen to you, right? So when you've gotten so many things right, like a Decay has, a Don Hassey, and these others, like they've gotten a lot of information right. They've been the first to break a lot of news. So now when you post something, there's a lot more credibility behind it, and you feel like, oh, that should be right. Like what he's saying is definitely happening, you know? And when it doesn't happen, you're going to get a salty fan base
especially
come back towards
you. Especially when minutes after tweeting it, dazed tweets saying, no, just talking to a friend. Allegiant's just a friend.
Yeah,
we're just
the pros
talking
have come out
him.
And gotten more negative towards these guys also. You kind of see some of that backlash
towards
them. I think
they're getting tired of whoever their inside source is breaking this to them, right? Yeah. It makes it very difficult to negotiate contracts and everything and keep friendships when you're doing this. You know, when not everyone can be Kiyoshima, where somehow you just are
oblivious
to all these rumors, like how it's pretty much been confirmed that Olaf Meister is going to play with FaZe. It hasn't been confirmed by the teams
yet
that he's
on
the roster, but he's at least playing with them.
Funny story of him scrimming with him today real quick. So one of the insiders we were talking about, Don Hassey, got the IP from one of their servers that they were scrimming in and entered the server which is a shady, super, like, crappy thing to do, right?
Nico was not happy.
No, not happy. He posted, negative things towards him, but yeah, he joined the server and Olaf was scrimming with them. Obviously, they've all come out and said, oh, he was just helping out, but let's be real. The writing's on the wall. Keo's getting benched. Somebody's coming in.
And throughout all these rumors, apparently they never told Keo until last night, and he just found out about it.
Shocking.
I mean, I buy that they probably didn't tell him. I don't buy that he had legit
no internet
idea.
Connection for what, the last month?
A little bit of process of elimination, okay? All right, so timeline. They drop a loop. They pick up Guardian. Okay, so there's your op. And then you know that Olaf is joining. He acknowledged that, right? Like, he knew Olaf was joining. Who do you think is going to be the odd man now? Look at that roster and say, all right.
You think he's going to replace Nico?
Not replacing Rain, not replacing Nico.
Rain? Yeah, it's like, come on, dude.
Rain's made them more gambling money than they can imagine. They bought Nico with that money.
Yeah. Come on. You have to put two and two.
In what seems to be the hardest things to follow, before we get into this, to recap, OpTic currently does not really have a team. They announced they're still sticking with CSGO, but no word on who's going to be in their new roster. That's kind of all over the place. As far as anything official. Immortals, this is one that... Allegiant is sticking with Liquid. And Immortals, this is one that I'm having issues understanding. So apparently the entire roster is basically leaving Immortals. Because they're wanting to make a team with FNX. Who did they not just...
No, so okay. So the issue with FNX was between FNX and Steel. They butted heads a lot. Steel was the in-game leader. A younger player, so that's where the biggest issue came into play.
And Steel is just having we've interviewed Steel before on the show. Just having that 10-minute conversation with him.
Love the guy.
He is very intelligent, and I could see to where if you're kind of fly by the seam of your pants type of player or attitude like FNX has? Like, if you are the guy who rages,
it's hard to rate it. Hate him unless you're like a D-bag kind of personality,
right?
Like,
I was going to say, I could see why if you're FNX, who kind of is the rager attitude guy, you would have an issue just getting along with someone like Steel.
Yeah, because he's very straight-laced, very like, you know, he's just a different breed. You don't see that in the sport right now.
Which doesn't fit the personality of
but
else.
The issue comes into play with Hen 1, Lucas 1, so brothers, and then you have KNG, who's the new opera on the team. So it's crazy that he's even involved in this kind of drama so early on. But those three have been, I think they've asked for a removal at this point from the team. The owner has come out and said that he is granting the approval, but only if the conditions were met. So whatever the buyout is, the teams will have
to play.
It's
going to be a fat buyout.
Yeah, they're
too.
Not. I mean, and it might not be huge for all of them. KNG probably bigger because he signed after they got second place. The others signed, you know, well before. But he's not going to drop the asking price just to let them out at this point. So whatever was in the contract as their release price, a team's going to have to pony up, and they're rumored to start a team with FNX. So I don't think it's a great move.
You kind of feel bad for the organization, right?
Yeah.
It's insane to see all these guys right after the major. Like, you got second place. Like, Immortals, where was the... You know, I guess it just goes to show that as fans, you think everything is going wonderful. Everyone loves each other. Man, we're mortals. We weren't even supposed to qualify for the major, let alone get second place. And now it's just a barn fire. You feel bad, dude.
FaZe, nobody really thought they would make a change right now either. It's like they felt like they kind of had the super team with Nico on there, right? And even now they found a way to...
I would say, though, FaZe is taking advantage of an opportunity.
100%.
Like,
yeah.
When opportunity knocks...
Olaf becomes available, Guardian's
and
available.
And Olafmeister is the opportunity knocking, you look at your roster and say, okay, so who? Okay, Kiyoshima, you're out. Okay,
it was
thank
the perfect, you.
You
know, perfect storm for them, because Alu, I think, had been talked about being replaced anyway.
A long time. He's been on the fence.
Kyo's
same
been
with
the
Kyo.
Problem since he's been on any team. No, I'm just kidding. Kyo's a great player. He's just, you know, he's not Olaf, so it's kind of unfortunate.
And right before we get into E-News, I did want to bring up this. So it's rumored that Valde is going to North. It's basically been proven through pictures, but North is not admitting this yet. And the reason this has been rumored and the reason people have found out is pretty awesome. So North tweeted out a picture of like them practicing and whited out everything of this mysterious player except for, and I'm not even kidding, his shoes.
Yep.
That is all that is there, are these ultra white pair of tennis shoes. And people, the internet detectives instantly recognize like, hey,
Valde has those same shoes
and... Is he joining North? And
they've deleted the picture since,
and you delete the picture, right?
Yeah.
If they were smart, they would have at least kept it up and been like, this is what they should have done. Okay, and I thought about this. If North was smart and they wanted to go along with this charade, they would have bought everyone on that roster those same pair of shoes and took a picture of them and like...
It could have had some fun with it, right?
They could have had some fun and been like, everyone has white pairs of shoes, whatever.
Now it's just the worst surprise.
And now it's...
Or the worst kept secret.
The fact that you delete it admits
it's happening.
Right, it's happening.
Yeah.
So,
but that's about it. On you know.
For now, that's it. I mean, the roster lock is tonight, so I don't think anything big's gonna happen. You know what is Optic gonna do? I'm sure they're gonna have some leeways with ESL because when your team leaves,
they're screwed now because
you're allowed two roster moves per season, but that has to be an exception when your team blows up. Like Immortals, right? You have three people leaving. You have to have some exception.
It's not that. I think you have to also have three to stay and hold your spot, and three from the previous roster. Well, Haze has just been offered to play with
CLG
because one of the, I think, Kuso's out or something like that. So he's not even going to be available for the qualifier. So they might like lose a spot altogether.
But that's where ESL is going to have to see how they want to bend their rules, right? This is the issue with the roster lock and those type of rules, right? In regular sports, it's not a huge deal because the player pool and your substitutes are so deep. Well, in esports, you might have one sub on your team.
And are they even keeping NAF and InMixWell at this point? I mean, it could be a totally new team. NAF or InMixWell could easily want to go back and play with players like Lowell.
And that's
like...
where this roster lock even causes an issue for ESL because it's... you're going to run into issues.
The free agent list right now is incredible. There's a lot of talented players sitting out there waiting to be picked up on a team. I mean, it's insane.
And we might know more by next episode, but Lord knows the second we post this, everything will be locked in, and it's just how it is. Let's get into some e-news, though. We did have some Overwatch happening over the weekend. We talked about the World Cup last week. Group G and H ended up wrapping up with the Santa Monica stage here. USA ended up taking first in Group G, of course.
Obviously. Plus and, 10.
And you had Group H, which, okay, I'll give credit where credit's due. I can admit when I'm wrong. I gave Germany this group. I thought they were going to have the upset over United Kingdom, and that was not the case. Again, it was your typical group stage. I guess this was a little tad closer, wouldn't you say so, Brett? This was a tad more entertaining than previous group stages.
Well, yeah, there was one game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't as many 4-0s in this group like previous groups. There's a little bit of an entertainment there, but, you know, anybody that USA was going to play, they were going to dominate. And more to your point, you know, it's kind of hard because, you know, with Germany, they're a really good team, but it's tough, especially in Overwatch. Your best player, like, it's tough.
Yeah. So
best player carries.
Yeah. No. I mean, yeah, your best that's a good point is, when it's a first-person shooter, yet a massive team game, it's the carries aren't as hard as you would have like in Counter-Strike or anything like that. Also, you had Cloud9 is all over the place right now, man. You got CSGO.
I want to ask you a question after you mention this topic on
there. All right, so Cloud9 ended up signing the Laser Kittens roster for their EU team. So now you have a Cloud9 EU team at the moment. At the moment, Cloud9 has a North American and European roster.
What are all these rumors about them picking up Korean players, like a Korean team, for their Overwatch team?
No one knows, players that are here are not signed long-term, right? That's the thing. No one knows what's happening now with the Overwatch League because no one's coming out and saying it. Like, is this going... Because, you know, they did sign the London... It's Cloud9 is
yeah,
London,
they're going to be a London-based right? team, but they said like
and
the
we will talk
were...
about that next week because I have next week I want to dive into just your normal discussion segment, esports and the fandom, because Overwatch League is testing everyone's true fandom on do you root for the team, player, city. Esports has never had to deal with this type of issues before, and I want to pick your guys' brain on that. But to answer your question, Anuj, I don't know, and I don't think anyone knows.
I just wonder why you sign a player when everyone's about to become a free agent anyway.
No one knows. And the fact, like I said, they still have their North American roster.
Yeah.
So I don't know if maybe they're just signing players now to get in good standing with them. You know, like maybe they will have first dibs to talk to them, not officially, but hey, you wear my jersey now. Why don't you come talk to me first with this Overwatch League and... You know, we'll see about getting you a roster spot. And then you also had Smash Con this weekend. Mango ended up defeating Mewtwo King in Melee 3-0. And Nairo ended up defeating Zero in Smash U. Awesome finals there with Nairo resetting the bracket. I'm a sucker for resetting brackets. If you reset a bracket, I'm instantly going to say that was the best finals ever because it's just awesome when someone rises up from the loser finals to beat someone like Zero and being, you know, world best there. Anyways, that will do it for episode 71 of The Center Ring. I appreciate you all listening. If you made it this far, thank you. If you skipped around, hey, that's also cool.
GamesCon next week, check it out. That'll be going on Tuesday, Wednesday, I believe.
GamesCon, when is the ESL New York qualifiers?
That is also, you know what, I don't want to get quoted on that, so
we'll figure it out.
Coming up, it's not too far away. There's still a couple of people for them to fill out some holes there.
Excellent. So again, that is it for episode 71. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. You can hit us up on our website tcr.gg. contact us there. Again, if you're listening on iTunes, leave that review, smash that 5-star, Let us know what you think.
Tim and I are both streaming now.
Family. We are trying to get a little bit more onto the Twitch side soon. And when I say soon, I'm talking like within the next month. I think we're going to start streaming our episodes so you can get us live for whoever wanted that in
something
their lives.
Something new to
try. No one ever asked for it, but it's something new. I think that's just about it. Twitter at the Center Ring. Hit us up again. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next week talking about esports fandom, some maybe roster moves and everything there. Until then, thank you so much for listening. For Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. See you later.